It's 8:50 on Morning Edition and time for our first look at the commodity markets for this Wednesday morning. Here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good morning, everyone. The Midwest Direct hog markets are called weak to $1 per hundredweight lower today, pressured by a sharp drop in wholesale pork prices, along with a lower lean hog futures price from yesterday. Terminals are called steady to as much as $2 lower. Tops from $42.50 to $43.50 Peoria called steady today with a top price of $42.50. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Tuesday, October 17th, negotiated swine purchases were $23,949. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $53 to $67. The weighted average, $64.19, a gain of 91 cents from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $44.49 to $52, the weighted average, $48.58. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $20,406. The base price range was $53.75 to $66.50. The weighted average, $63.79, a gain of 52 cents from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $44.05 to $51.95, and the weighted average was $47.98.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
Joining us in the studio with a look at today's agricultural weather is Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. Well, first off, we're going to talk a little bit about Australia. They did get some rain there. Southeastern Australia picked up some rain yesterday, and they are expected to pick up a little bit more for today and tomorrow, but without any follow-up moisture, not likely to be much change in the production potential for the crop down there, especially the canola crop. South American weather remains favorable for spring planting and early season crop development. And Santiago del Estero, Argentina, that's the only grain and oilseed production region that is still too dry. South Africa needs rain to support the corn planting there, or as they call it, maize, that usually begins late this month and continues into December. And the harvest weather across the U.S. may not be quite as wet as advertised yesterday, but precipitation is still anticipated, and that will adversely impact field work in some areas, especially in the eastern and southern portion of the belt around the Ohio River Valley. They have been extremely wet for the last month, and any precipitation there or any weather that's not drying will be a negative impact for the region. Again, Australia's southeastern corner will receive much-needed precipitation for Thursday and Friday. Amounts from a half-inch to local three-quarter of an inch, amounts are possible. It will occur in New South Wales, Victoria, and South Australia. Moisture will be great enough for improving topsoil moisture, and the crops will probably respond temporarily. However, the rain is probably going to be too light and comes a little too late in the year to have a huge impact on production. Some improved crop conditions will result, but without follow-up rains, the impact on production will be minimal. Argentina's wheat region will experience net drying over the next few days, despite a few showers. Crops will develop aggressively after widespread rains last weekend. And brief periods of rain, drizzle, and light snow in the U.S. hard red wheat country will occur occasionally over the next 2 weeks, resulting rainfall not likely to be all that great, but most areas will not likely see a net increase in soil moisture, although some snow will accumulate during the weekend in eastern Colorado and in some immediate neighboring areas. Accumulation should be light. Generally, the Corn Belt will see the showers that are slowing the harvest in the western portions of the region. Right now, the rain is across a good portion of Iowa, knocking on the door of western Illinois. Some light snow in northwestern Iowa, southwestern Minnesota, and the eastern Dakotas. Again, not very much in the way of precipitation there. And dry weather will favor the field work elsewhere, especially in the Ohio Valley, where persistent wetness has caused significant delays in the summer crop harvest and the winter wheat planting. But again, precipitation looks to be headed towards the eastern sections. Most of it, according to the latest computer runs, looks to be heading towards the north and east rather than towards the Ohio River Valley. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
In the Tuesday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat opened at 531.5, up 1, last trade down 4.5. March, 543.5, unchanged, last trade down 6.75. December wheat at the Board of Trade opened at 531.25, up 0.25, last trade down 9. March, 535, down 2.5, last trade down 10. December corn opened at 319.75, down 1.25, last trade down 5.5. March, 328.75, down 3/4, last trade down 4.25. July, 336.75, down 2.25, last trade down 5. Red line December, 325, down 1, last trade down 2.5. November beans opened at 599.75, down 3/4, last trade down 5.25. January, 612, down 2.5, last trade down 5.75. July, 640, down 1/4, last trade down 3.25. December soybean meal opened at 180.30, down 20, last trade down 160. December soybean oil opened at 25.65, down 3, last trade down 23. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Clayton.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
Well, are you looking to sell this market at some point soon?
Yeah, I would be. I kind of shudder when I hear people, putting more and more of their grain in storage here, committing to expensive storage rates, and not taking some money off the table here, because I think this is a phenomenal opportunity to be able to price some corn and beans at.
Are you recommending that people price it across the scale and take the cash if you're not going to store it?
Obviously, a lot of details depend on a person's storage situation and so forth, but in general, yes. Basis isn't nearly as bad as we thought it was going to be, and obviously the flat price is way better than we thought it was going to be for this time, and I'd sell now and ask questions later, frankly.
So you think that, let's look at some particulars, wheat upside exhaustion at this point, and what would you think a retracement might look like?
I'm going to be the lone guy on the horizon here, I guess, but I think there's a very good chance that that we've seen the high in the sweet market for a long time to come. Now, I suppose as whippy and violent as this market is, it could go up and make new highs by a couple cents today or tomorrow or something. I don't think that's the case, but even if it did, it wouldn't change my mind. I think time-wise, if not price-wise, we're at a long-term high here.
So the retracement would be to where, 50% of the move?
Yeah, if you figure what we rallied low to high on this wheat market, what, $1.70-ish or something like that? Yeah, I think there's 85 cents downside potential in the nearby wheat contracts. By all means, I think that's the case.
So taking it back to last May's highs, 460, 450, somewhere in there. What about the corn market on the weekly charts? It has reached its target objectives.
Mm-hmm. Well, there too, and actually, that's what I was talking mostly of when I was saying that I think I'd sell now and ask questions later. People are really blessed with a great opportunity here right now, and I think this was, in my opinion, probably blowing higher than it would have been, obviously, if it hadn't been for the wheat market. And so, whatever the external force, I think a guy's got to take advantage of it. And I don't know why corn would go up very much from here. And on the other hand, I mean, a billion bushels is very small compared to a year ago. I'm speaking of the carryover. But a billion bushels is still more than adequate. We are not going to run out of corn this marketing year. That being the case, I think 321 is a little bit of a house of cards.
May 2004, of course, at 322, and then if you look technical charts above that, you got to go all the way up to 341.5. That doesn't seem quite likely. What about a retracement for corn?
I'd be very surprised if we don't see these corn below 285 by delivery time.
There's a little gap down there, like a 14.5 cent gap's not so little. Might that be a target?
And yeah, I think it would be. Yeah, I'm not a real big believe that the gaps are all that important, but I certainly think that kind of price retracement is very possible, and if not likely.
Do end users buy at that price?
End users? I'd go hand to mouth, frankly, if I were an end user right now. You know, for this marketing year, the thing that concerns me is 07. I mean, the DS07, I think, has the least to fall. I think it will back off from its current level. What did we close, 326 or something like that yesterday?
Yes.
I think no question, the handwriting's on the wall for a real strange situation to develop, you know, come next spring and summer in terms of just where the heck the acres are going to come from. So, but as much as they've tightened these spreads, I think the nearbys have the most to lose in the corn market, and the DS07 probably has the least to lose.
And calls this morning?
We're probably looking, well, they're saying 3 to 5 lower in both corn and beans, and wheat 8 to 10 lower. I wouldn't be surprised to see it. I'd be surprised if corn was only 3 lower, I'll put it that way. I think it's probably more like 5 to 7 lower, push comes to shove, and wheat could be 10, 12, something like that.
Thanks, Clayton.
All right, Dave, thank you.
Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. You're listening to WILL Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.